Hello. Before we jump into the show, we need to shout out our awesome new sponsor, Marquee TV.
Man, I was so excited when we got the news about the sponsor. You all might remember from a few weeks ago that I talked about my new Shakespeare project where I'm learning everything I can about Macbeth.
It felt like we said the name Shakespeare out loud and the Marquee people appeared and said, "We gotcha."
It really did.
Yeah.
In case you're not familiar, Marquee TV is a streaming service. They have theater, ballet, opera, documentaries. There's a bunch of behind-the-scenes content of productions. Basically, it's a fun way to nerd out about the arts.
Yeah, it's a streaming service that will take you to the best theaters in the world from the comfort of your own sofa.
I've already added so many things to our watch list. Did you know there's a ballet based on the works of Beatrix Potter?
I did. They've got a little preview video of somebody dancing around in a rabbit costume.
Peter Rabbit doing ballet. I also added a few hip-hop dance shows just to balance out the dancing bunnies.
Yeah, hip-hopera. That's what they call it.
They do. It's so fun.
Yeah.
Mozart's Requiem from the London Philharmonic Orchestra and a bunch of Shakespeare plays, including Richard II, starring my pretend best friend, David Tennant.
And Judi Dench talking about her long relationship with Shakespeare in a master class.
Yeah, I love Judi Dench.
Sure.
But David Tennant.
Yeah, that's quite a battle there.
Okay, there's a special deal for our listeners. Marquee TV is offering 3 months of their service for 99 cents. You get 3 months of all of this good stuff for 99 cents with the code SSOP.
That cost seems absurdly low to me. Like, first, I expected it to be much higher given the quality of the content, but also 99 cents. You can't park next to a theater for 99 cents.
Accurate. Also, if you watch Marquee TV, you get to see these shows maybe wearing your pajamas and hanging out with your cat or your dog.
Yeah. It's a good way to sort of indulge your own curiosity. You can see all the performances of Hamlet, or maybe the first 15 minutes of all of the performances of Hamlet, and you don't have to rope your friends and family into all of that.
Or you could watch Richard II over and over and over and over.
What's the best angle for David Tennant in Richard II?
Trick question. All of them. Anyway, you definitely need to explore the website because there is a ton of really fun, fascinating, engaging stuff on there. I went in specifically looking for Shakespeare, and I found a ton of other things I wanted to watch.
Yeah. You can keep up with what they're doing on social media at Marquee Arts TV. You can visit their website at marquee.tv. That's marquee.tv to get 3 months of their service for just 99 cents with the promo code SSOP. Bring the arts home with Marquee TV. And now the show.
Coming up, a Cold War thriller with a rock and roll heart.
A ghost story set during World War I.
Plus our distraction of the week. I'm Mel.
I'm Dave. This is the Library of Lost Time.
Before I talk about a new book set in Prague, a tiny history lesson.
Okay.
After World War II, Czechoslovakia was a communist country. It was not part of the Soviet Union, but it was behind the Iron Curtain.
I feel like from the perspective of my U.S. education, that's a thin slice.
Yes, but it's an important one, and we're going to see why in a minute.
Okay.
Then in the late 1960s, there was a period called the Prague Spring. The rules loosened up a little bit. The Beach Boys played here. You could listen to the Beatles. You could wear blue jeans. It was called socialism with a face.
All of this is sort of beautifully illustrated in the children's book, The Wall, from Peter Sis, which is still one of the best books I've read about that era.
I really love that book, too.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
In August of 1968, when all of this nice, lovely Prague Spring stuff was going on, the Soviet Union decided it had enough of these long hair, good time hippies.
Yep.
And the Soviet Union invaded.
Yes.
After that, Czechoslovakia returned to a more repressive flavor of communism until 1989, when the regime changed for good. The book Strawberry Fields by Patrick D. Joyce begins on August 20th, 1968, the day the tanks rolled into Prague.
The Moody Blues were here that day.
They were.
Yeah.
Stuck at the airport.
Yeah.
This story opens just before dawn on the Charles Bridge. Our heroine, Josie Brukova, a reporter from Toronto, is waiting in the fog to meet a contact known to her only as the Shrouded Man.
Wow.
But the cops show up before he can explain why he summoned her. And as he makes his escape, he says to Josie, "I am the walrus." And then, "Go to the Cafe Screech, listen. The playwright will understand. Trust no one else."
That's a lot of mysterious leads there.
I keep waiting to have a conversation like that on the Charles Bridge. It is not happening.
Yeah, we keep showing up though.
So Josie gets snagged by the authorities. And as they drive toward the station, she sees tanks and soldiers everywhere. The Soviet army has taken over the city.
Yeah, it's a bad time.
And Josie finds herself at the heart of dangerous political machinations. In just 150 tight pages, this story weaves together breathless chases, cryptic clues, acts of brave stupidity, and a little romance. It's also an excellent tour of Prague landmarks, including Old Town Square and the famous Cafe Slavia. And throughout, there are references to the works of Lewis Carroll, Franz Kafka, and the Beatles. Patrick Joyce, the author, is a former reporter, and he grew up in embassies full of diplomats and spies because his father was a foreign service officer and Soviet expert.
Whoa.
Yeah. They lived in Moscow, the Philippines, Myanmar, Germany, Cuba, and Nicaragua.
Jeez. That's like a hit list of hotspots over the last 50 years.
It really is. I'm a little envious.
Yeah.
I guess in a pretend way. This is the second book in the Sing and Shout series, but it's a great place to start because it's a prequel to the first book, which was called Back in the USSR. That one is set in Moscow at the height of the Cold War. Patrick, the author, told me that the next book in the series takes place on a train between Moscow, Leningrad, and Helsinki. I am already excited about that.
Yeah.
If you enjoy a little espionage set in romantic Cold War locations populated with upstanding heroes who make delightfully dangerous decisions, you will like these books. This one is Strawberry Fields by Patrick D. Joyce, and it's out now. If you wanted to do a little Prague Spring reading project, you could read this book, The Wall by Peter Sis, which Dave mentioned, and Prague Spring by Simon Marr. You can listen to our Prague episode to learn all about those and why the Moody Blues were stuck in Prague. I'll put links to all of that in the show notes.
Catherine Arden is the author of The Bear and the Nightingale.
You talked about that book in one of our Strong Sense of Place episodes.
I did. I talked about it for Forests.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. It's a story about the daughter of a woman who might be a witch. And it's got a very strong fairy tale vibe to it. It's set in the deep and dark woods of Russia. She has a new book out. It's called The Warm Hands of Ghosts. It's a World War I story. A sister hears that her brother is missing and presumed dead. She receives his personal effects. Something doesn't make sense to her. So she decides to go to the battlefields of Belgium as a volunteer at a private hospital. She's going to go look for him.
That is a very daring decision.
It is, yeah. The book alternates back and forth between her story and her brother's harrowing tale. It has a strong sense of Flanders and some paranormal elements. It blends rich history and gothic fairy tale. If you like The Invisible Life of Addie LaRue, you might enjoy this. The early reviews have been great. It just came out this week. It's The Warm Hands of Ghosts by Catherine Arden. And now our distraction of the week. This week I was distracted by a list I found on the National Geographic site. The list is called 10 Unmissable Events Worth Traveling For in 2024. I doubt anybody on Earth will attend all 10 events.
Oh, I think we could try.
It would make for a fantastic year. One of the stops is an ultramarathon through 143 miles of the Manu National Park in Peru.
Wow.
Yeah.
Do you have to run or can you just go?
You could probably just go.
Eat snacks and watch.
Yeah. We'll watch participants trail run through cloud forests and Andean grasslands and rainforest and cross river after river over 5 days.
Whoa.
Yeah. Previous marathoners have given the event high marks for being well run, but also describe the race as, quote, unpredictable and relentless.
That sounds about right.
Yeah. That's in early June. It's supposed to be hot and humid. They advertise that as a feature. As a participant, that would be a big no for me.
Same.
Also on National Geographic's list is a swim across the Bosphorus in Istanbul.
Ooh, I love that.
Yeah. So usually that strait there, the one splitting Asia and Europe, has very busy shipping lanes. But 3 days every year, they close it to traffic so that a couple thousand people can swim from one continent to another.
Oh, that sounds so cool.
Yeah. It's a 4-mile swim with a party at the end, and that's in August.
I don't know if I can be ready for that by August.
I have faith in you. We can do it.
Oh, you're going to do it too? You're going to swim 4 miles?
No, no way. I'm going to watch.
Eat a kebab.
Yeah. Also on the list are the Tango World Cup in Argentina, which I'm definitely participating in, a street art festival in the UK, and a kite festival in India. But the one that got my attention most was a bike ride across Kenya. It's 310 miles or 500K over 7 days with 60 other cyclists. It's through a national reserve. They have unprecedented access. Typically, you can't get out of your car at this reserve.
Wow.
Yeah. You start at a lake known for its herds of flamingos and ride through a savanna that houses elephants, lions, giraffes, and gazelles.
What about cheetahs? Pretty sure a cheetah can run faster than I can ride a bike.
Presumably, they have ways of managing that, but I'm not sure. There's a video of one of the previous participants saying they had a zebra run alongside the tour for 10 minutes.
Oh, that gave me tears in my eyes.
Yeah. Yeah. You stay in luxury accommodations along the way. It is a fully supported ride with meals and mechanics and medical aid. And it's all for a good cause. It's a charity event to support child.org, a nonprofit that helps children and their mothers in sub-Saharan Africa. Fees are about $3,500 a person, and they do the ride twice a year, once in February and once in November. I do not know who is doing all 10 of these unmissable events, but if you're out there, have fun storming the castle.
Visit strongsenseofplace.com/library for more on the books we talked about today and the unmissable events of 2024.
Thanks for joining us in the Library of Lost Time. Remember to visit your local library and your independent bookstore to lose some time yourself.
Stay curious. We'll talk to you soon.